Gospels tonight is 2 Timothy chapter number 3 and verse number 15. Let's go ahead and read that verse together, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 15. Tonight, and it says this, it says, "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." One more time. "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." Title of the message is a question tonight. Is your investment yielding eternal dividends? Is your investment yielding eternal dividends? And the question from this verse right here as we get started, how is a child going to know the holy scriptures? How is a child going to know the Holy Scriptures? Father, we love you tonight. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for this church that you've established here. Lord, I pray that you will bless it, that you will multiply it, that it will grow, that it will be a lighthouse in this community that will impact the families of this community, that they may draw closer to you, that they may trust Christ as their Savior, and the people of this church would stand for the foundational truth of the Word of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. How's a child going to know the Holy Scriptures tomorrow morning? They're going to board a bus and they're going to go to the public school and they're going to bombard them with the Scriptures. Yeah. We wish, but they're not. Some of you are going to go home tonight and you're going to flick a button on and the TV screen is going to go on and it is going to go bombard you with the Holy Scriptures. Not really. Some of you got gadgets. Some of them I've seen them here already in the auditorium. And you got phones hanging on it. And you can get that data system going. And you can go on the internet. And you can just be bombarded with the Holy Scriptures. But that's probably not what you're spending most of your time doing on there, is it? We're not. How are you going to know the Holy Scriptures? I believe God has established the first institution found in Scripture. And that is the family. If we were talking about animals, and I don't like to compare people to animals because we're different. We're made in the image of God. But we would be in the family would be in the extinct category, about ready to go extinct. Endangered species is called. And we as a church, a body of believers, not just here, but across this country and across the world, need to come back to that truth, that foundational truth. Because how are our children going to know the Holy Scriptures? Now, I share this tonight with a heart of compassion and meekness, but I do stand on the authority of what the Bible says is true. And if something's happened in your life that has caused things to break up and cause confusion, my friend, we need to come back to that truth. We need to start anew and afresh and teach our children what the truth is and say, this is what God says we need to do. And I share that with love from my heart. I'm not putting anybody down. But my friend, we have got to get back, especially in the church, to the foundational truth that God has established. As you think about these things, there's stats I could read. Let me just read a couple of them here to you tonight. 50 to 65% of first marriages end within the first 15 years. 65%. 24 million children in the United States live without their biological father. 24 million. In 1970, fewer than 400,000 homes in the United States had children being raised by single fathers. By 2000, the number had risen to 2 million, up 500%. This is an interesting stat, a good stat. 90% of Americans believe children should live in the same home with their mother and their father. That's good. Just takes something to accomplish that, doesn't it? Studies on families with a great deal of conflict suggest that children raised in those families do better if the parents stay together than if they divorce. So it's better to stay together. How's a child going to know the Holy Scripture tonight? I believe God's established the family. How long ago was the first family? Well, if you go to that public school system tomorrow, they're probably going to tell you millions and millions of years ago, the caveman was on this side of the cave. And the cavewoman was over there. And he glances over and he says, hey, there she is. Let's come together. Let's start a family. How did they get the idea of the family? I believe God. In fact, nobody was there except God. And he established it. In fact, let's go and find what he has to say in Genesis chapter number 1, verse 27 tonight. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. Then we'll go to Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. In fact, just go to Genesis 2, 24. We will share that verse in Genesis 1. 27 and 28, you can look at that later. But Genesis chapter 2 and verse 24, it says, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. God instituted the family way back in the beginning. What was the description of the family? A man shall leave his father and mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. One man, one woman, and it is a life decision. Now, many of you tonight didn't come driving up in a Model T, did you? Some of you maybe wish you had a Model T and to put there in the garage and say, look what I got. But you came up in probably some pretty fancy cars. You came in that had air conditioner control, buttons you could push up and down, seats that cushion, and you get a nice smooth ride because man has made improvements on the invention of the automobile, has he not? But listen to me. God instituted the family, and man can make no improvement on what God has instituted. And we must stand on that foundation. Psalm 11 and verse 3 says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? My friend, what we can do is come back to the truth and start anew and afresh and preach that truth and stand on that truth and teach it to our young people and to our families, to our grandchildren, and to our friends, that this is what God's design is for the family. How important this is, I believe it's so very, very important that we teach this truth over and over. In fact, you say, but this is found in the Old Testament, way back in the first book of the Bible. Well, go with me to Matthew chapter 19, quickly please. Matthew chapter 19 and verse number 3. I want to tell you and show you what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 19, verses 3 through 6. In Matthew chapter 19, verses 3 through 6. It says here, and the Pharisees came unto Jesus, talking to him about divorce, tempting him, and saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And he said, Jesus said unto them, have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning, made them male and female? What's he doing? He's referring back to the very beginning in Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. And said, for this cause shall a man leave father. Here's the verse. And mother shall cleave to his wife. And they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. If you go to Mark chapter number 10, verses 6 through 9. And over in Ephesians chapter number 3. Go there for me, or I'll read it to you. In Ephesians, this was Jesus talking about. Now this is Paul writing here in verse number 31. What's it say? For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. What's he referring back to? What was at the very beginning. Here it is, the whole way through Scripture, God's design for the family. This past summer, we did a vacation Bible school called Hole in One, W-H-O-L-E. We used the idea of the mini golf theme in the golf, and we used G-O-L-F acrostic with that. Go, obey, love, forgive. We wanted to teach the young people that came to Bible school what the family was all about. Why? We were in Salina, Pennsylvania a couple years ago. My wife and I were celebrating our 27th wedding anniversary at that time. And Jeff Neal and the children made a 2 and a 7 and sang happy anniversary to us in front of the Bible school children. And as we were there, the next day, a 6th grade girl came to their teacher in VBS and says, do you mean to tell me that that man and that woman have been in the same house for 27 years? This young lady had no concept what a family is. So we wanted to teach, we kind of inspired us, we wanted to teach the biblical principle of what the family was all about. And how important that is, you saw the go, obey, love, forgive, because we wanted to teach obedience and love and forgiveness, because God loved us and he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross. Jesus was obedient unto his heavenly Father and went to that cross and died for our sins, was buried and rose again, so you and I could have the forgiveness of our sins, because we knew these young people weren't going to go home next week and start their own family. And we also knew that there's so many families that don't have the example of a father and a mother. But the most important family you and I can be part of is God's family. We can be children of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 18 was our theme verse. And we'll be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. That was our goal. We saw, praise the Lord, 51 children trust Christ as their Savior that summer as we went from place to place, church to church, to share the biblical foundation, the truth about the family. when we were in Vienna, West Virginia, a young fifth grade boy came up to the teacher that Sunday night, and he said, "Teacher, what that man said isn't true. It's all right for a man and man to be together and a woman and woman to be together." My friend, these young people need to know what God says and the authority of the Word of God. We need to come back to that truth. We're crazy. We're nuts. We do crazy things when we do illustrations. So hang on. Don't be superstitious. I am going to open an umbrella in the church service tonight, because I do not want you to forget what God's design is. For the next time it's raining and pouring in Texas, you probably can't even use an umbrella because it's raining so hard or it's blowing so hard. But I want you to get this picture. I don't want you to forget it. I don't want your children to forget it. Young people over here, I don't want you to forget it, because I want you to start a new trend where you decide that it's going to be one man, it's going to be one woman, and it's going to be for life. And that's what happens. Then God, in His blessings, blesses with children. Because it says, be fruitful and multiply, does it not? Well, God's been gracious to us to help us and children. There was five all together when we were all together, one back here, one in Florida, Gerald, and that's how that happened. And then, well, they get a little older, and they decide that they find somebody else they want to spend their life with. And so they decide to have their own family, and they start their own umbrella, and they get together, and then God blesses with children. You're cute, Titus. That's it. That's the cue. And it goes on and it goes on, just like it's going on in your family, and it keeps going over and over and over again. And that is God's plan for the family. We must continue to teach that truth over again. I want to show you a picture of someone we met in Harrisonburg, Virginia. His name is Sterling, and her name is Della Huggins. He's 90 years old. She's 84. They've been married for 64 years. We met them 3 years ago. They did a concert at a retirement community. Why are you showing their picture? We were just there a year ago at this time, and Della had to be moved to a special long-term care unit because she had Alzheimer's disease and was struggling with her memory. And Sterling moved to a smaller apartment. Well, what's so significant about that? Well, you see, Sterling, he would go over and visit his wife at 7 o'clock in the morning. Would he just stay for a few minutes? No. He'd stay for the next 12 hours from 7 to 7. Did he just do this once a week? No, my friend, he did it every day. Every day. Every day. Why? Because I believe Sterling and Della stood up in front of their preacher and before their God, and they said, "I do till death do us part." My friend, this man is a hero to me. I know you may be Dallas Cowboy fans here, or whatever kind of fans you are, but they're a bunch of zero heroes, my friend. And so many of those that you see on that television screen are zero heroes. This is a hero I want to be like, and that you need to be teaching your young people about. You need to give them an example of what a hero really is. It is a hero if you're sticking it together till death do you part. That's a hero because you've done it God's way. And that honors the name of the Lord. Oh, how we need to be that example. What are we to do in the home? Turn with me to Colossians chapter 3, if you would, please. Colossians chapter 3. I know we're going quick, but I know this is such vital things that you need in your home and your family, because we need the church of God to come back to the foundational truth of what God's design is for the family. We need the next generation, you young men over here, and you young people, to determine in your heart and your life, I want to do it God's way. My father-in-law, my wife's father, came from a broken home. His mother left him at 6 months, and he was with a stepmother, and she was throwing knives and things at him, and he finally had to leave the home and go to a dear godly aunt just down the street. But he determined when he was your age, young people, when he was your age, that with God help, he would have a family that would honor God. His oldest daughter is here. Her brother is also serving the Lord, traveling in ministry. And he had 6 children. We had 5 children. And he passed away on his 75th birthday just 2 years ago. But God honored his promise. It is possible with God's help to start anew and afresh and do it God's way. I challenge you tonight to do that. What is God's design here in the home? Some principles in the home real quick here tonight. Verse 18, wives, submit. You've heard it, haven't you? yourselves to your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. It says, wives, submit. Over in Titus 2:4, it says, wives, love your husband, love your children. It says, husbands, love. Husbands, this does not give you the right to be a dictator in the home. You're to love your wife. You need your wife. You need to understand and take care of your wife. And you need to understand that men and women are different. And men, we are like a bowl in a china shop when we're handling something. Women are just more delicate, and they're coming at it a little bit different angle, a different view. Take instant shopping, for instance. Men, we go in to the hardware store. We find what we want. We buy it. We're gone, right? Now, ladies, it's a different story, isn't it? I mean, you enter the doors of that shopping center. You open those doors, and you go, ah, this feels good, right? And then you buy your things, and on it goes. But that's a good thing. That's all right, because we're different. It's a different thing. You know, it's good, men, to take your ladies to the shopping. It teaches us patience, doesn't it? Yeah, it does. And then some of you, your dear wife has told you to do something. Because the next verse says, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter. Why does God have to tell a husband to love his wife and be not bitter against her? Come on, think about it. Do a little thinking here. What? I mean, isn't that why you married her? Because you love? Maybe she tells you to do something. Maybe fix the leaky faucet. And you jump right on it, right, husband?
Not on your life, do we?
And then the second time it comes. Then the third time she comes and tells you, finally, she might even raise her voice. Honey, it's not fixed. Husbands, we have a word for that, don't we? Persistence. That's not the word you were thinking, was it? No, it was not the word. It's a biblical character quality, ladies. Don't let you have been sold a bill of goods on this quality. Read Luke chapter 18 about the unjust judge and the widow lady there. She wanted an item to be made right, but she kept coming until he made it right. And God tells us to pray with that same kind of spirit over and over. Cry out to God day and night. And I think that's your theme this year, prayer, is it not? And how we need to cry out. Oh, we need the church of God to cry out to the Almighty God. We need his power back in the church. We need him to do a work. We need it in our families. How important that is. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, it's always there. It says, children, obey. You want to please the Lord? Obey your parents. You want to please the Lord? Why? Why do we have to obey? Because I believe God wants to teach us at a young age to have that obedience to our Father. That when the Father in heaven and the Holy Ghost comes and challenges your heart to obey what it says in the Word of God, that you will submit to the authority of God's Word and trust Christ as your Savior. How important that is to do that. Oh, we had a chance to honor. I wanted to honor my mom as she is my brother. Had to put her in a rest home. She struggled with Alzheimer's disease and had to put her in the rest home at this time last year. She passed away on September the 3rd. But between that time, had the chance just to go and help her eat a meal or feed to her because I wanted to honor her the few times I could spend with her until they're gone. We can honor her because I wanted to honor my parents because that was honoring God. And do you get the connection? We got to connect these words in Scripture to what we're doing every day in our life and apply them to us so we can get busy doing what a Christian ought to be doing. So many people, I hear rest home leaders say, they drop them off and they never come to see them. Shame on us. Oh, how we need to spend as much time as we can with them. How important that is. The question we ask, how is a child going to know the Holy Scripture? In Deuteronomy, I believe God established the family, that mother and father. This passage in Deuteronomy chapter 6, often homeschoolers use this passage in teaching. And God has given it to them as he challenged the children of Israel. In verse 5, it says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. Verse 6 in Deuteronomy chapter 6 says, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Well, you need to underline those words, parents, right there. These words shall be where? In thine heart. Because if they're not in your heart, you're not going to live for God. If they're not in your heart, I'm wondering if you've even made a decision to trust Christ as your Savior. Because the Bible says you must believe in your heart and you must confess with your mouth. A heart decision is a decision when there's repentance and it changes. Things change when you make a heart decision. What are we supposed to do as parents? It says there in the next verse. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Thou shalt talk with them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up. My friend, it is a full-time job to be a parent. Full-time. Many people say, oh, getting married, there's lots of adjustments you have to make. No. When you have children, there's adjustments you have to make. I mean, because it's not your schedule anymore. It's their schedule. And you and I are charged by God to teach them the things of the Lord. And I believe parents, fathers, mothers, we need to teach the Word of God to our children. They need to hear it from us, and they need to see it lived out in our life. Are you with me? They need to hear it from our lips. They need to see it lived out in our lives. Why? Because the verse we started with, how is a child going to know the Holy Scriptures? Why do we want a child to know the Holy Scriptures? Not from a child that has known the Holy Scriptures. Because it makes thee wise unto what? Salvation. What does it tell us in Romans 10:17? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. This precious Word of God is powerful. And we need to invest it into our young people, into our children. And we need to make sure we make an investment. Back there in 1 Timothy, or 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, Paul's writing to Timothy, and he makes a statement here. He says this in verse number 14. In fact, verse number 12, it says in 2 Timothy 3, it says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Boy, we can see that happening, don't we? Deceiving and being deceived. Things aren't getting better, my friend. They're getting worse and worse. I love the first part of this next verse. It says, but what? But continue. That's what we need to do. We need to continue. Continue in what? It says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. This is Paul writing to Timothy. What Timothy has learned and has been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Who did he learn this from? Back in chapter 1, verse number 5. Who did Timothy learn these things from? Verse 5 says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that was in who? That was in, first dwelleth in thy grandmother Lois, and then in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded in thee also. The grandma and the mom invested the Word of God. And Paul saw that in Timothy. What's the challenge tonight? Is your investment yielding eternal dividends? I'm not talking about money tonight. I'm talking about you, Mom. I'm talking about you, Dad. This is what we have to do. We're right here. God has blessed us with some children. And right now, we need to invest. Not all the games, not all the gadgets and the gadgets. We need to invest the Holy Scriptures to our children. Why? So that they may become wise unto salvation. We have that opportunity right now to invest. Present day, right now, tonight, invest in our young people. We may even get a chance to invest in our grandchildren the Holy Scriptures. But there's going to be generations down here that you and I are never going to see. We're going to be dead and gone. So if we mess up back here, who's going to share it with our family, my family, your children, your great-great-great-grandchildren, who's going to share with them the Word of God? This is serious business to be a parent, and it's about time the church wakes up to that fact and start teaching the Word of God in their home instead of all this other junk that's going on. Amen. We want one foot in the church and one foot we want to start mingling around in the world, and we're in trouble because we're not sharing it with them, and they're not seeing it in us. All the young people will catch it. 60 to 70% of young people that used to be in church are no longer coming to the church when they're in their 20s. Are you with me? The stats are out. None of us are exempt. The stats are out. 60 to 70%. We've missed it back here. They start doubting the authority of the Word of God, because it wasn't in our heart. This thing of being a Christian is serious business. I mean, it's 24/7. It's a relationship with God. Oh, my friend, I fall on my face every day at being a good dad. But God's mercy and grace is good to us, and He's a forgiving God. But don't let your pride hold you back from humbling yourself before God and say, God, I'm going to make a commitment from this day forward to teach my children to teach my grandchildren the Word of God. It's an investment. Oh, how we need to make this investment. Hole in One was the name of our Bible school. How can you be whole or complete in Jesus Christ? Let me bring this little object out here. It's a compass. Some of you might remember it from Algebra 1 class. Some of you want to forget about Algebra 1 class, don't you? Yes, don't bring this back, preacher. And this compass here has a point on one end, a pencil on the other, and it helps to draw a perfect circle. I could take this pencil, and I could draw a circle, but it wouldn't be a perfect circle. But if this point is fastened right there, and it stays there, then it will draw a perfect, complete circle. My friend, if you want a hole-in-one family, if you want to be whole, complete, this point must be fixed on the rock, Jesus Christ. And it must not move. No matter how the winds blow, no matter how the culture changes, you and I must be planted firmly on Jesus Christ. We are on the winning team. Never forget it. If you've never trusted Christ tonight, make sure you become whole, complete in Him. The question I ask, how's a child going to know the Holy Scriptures? Dad, mom, grandma, grandfather? It's our responsibility. We're in the army now. We're the teachers in sharing this Word of God. The other question, is your investment yielding eternal dividends? Are your children saved? Are your grandchildren saved? Are you praying for them? Oh, do it tonight. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you for the truth of the Word of God. Thank you for the simplicity of it. Yes, the profoundness of God's truth. I don't know the hearts tonight. Lord, I've tried to share from my heart a burden about what's going on in our families, in our churches, in our lives. And I pray tonight you will work in the hearts of people and understand this biblical truth, the authority of God's Word and what His truth is, and that will desire to live it out. Is there someone tonight that needs to trust Christ? Are you whole? Are you complete in Jesus Christ? Trust Him tonight. With your heads bowed and eyes closed, is there someone say, that's me, I need to get saved. I need to get saved. Anyone tonight, you just lift your hand and make that commitment, that recognize tonight, I need to get saved. Challenge too for you parents, for anybody, moms, dads, grandpas, grandmas, husbands, wives, I want you to make a commitment that you are going to stick together till death do you part. You say, I know this stuff, preacher, I know this stuff. My friend, a lot of people know this stuff. You say, you're preaching to the choir. Even the choir practices. We need to get back to practicing the truth of God's Word. Don't think you're exempt from something happening in your home, because I can give you example after example after example of godly people that Satan got a hold of their life. Make that commitment anew and afresh tonight. The altar's open. You can come now.